Imagine a self-driving car, right?
Yeah.
Packed with, I mean, literally millions of dollars of cutting-edge sensors, and it just cheerfully drives itself straight into a flooded lake
Because right into the
or
wire.
right into the water. Or picture this: a brilliant software engineer making, huge money, spending 3 hours a day inventing completely fake, meaningless tasks just to hit some corporate AI usage quota.
It's wild, it really is.
It's completely bonkers. But welcome to today's deep dive, everyone. For those of you joining us, we are pulling from a really fascinating stack of sources today out of the May 16th, 2026 edition of Tech and AI Daily.
And it is a dense edition.
Oh, it's massive. Our mission today is to really explore this huge collision happening right now. It's this crash between pristine, cutting-edge automated technology and, well, the messy, totally unpredictable realities of human life.
Yeah, the real world is messy.
Exactly. We are looking at everything from petty office politics to, honestly, international geopolitics. So, okay, let's unpack this, because the contrast between what these systems are engineered to do in a lab and how they actually behave in the wild is just staggering.
It really is night and day.
Let's look at the physical human side of this collision first, specifically this bizarre situation playing out at Amazon.
Right. So the Amazon situation is it's a perfect case study in the mechanics of perverse incentives.
Okay, perverse incentives, break that down.
So according to the reports we're looking at, Amazon executives have mandated these very strict, quantifiable AI adoption metrics for their workforce.
Like a quota.
Exactly, a quota. They want a dashboard showing that the expensive AI tools they purchased are actually being utilized at a high frequency.
Wait, hold on, though. I mean, that sounds like pretty standard corporate procedure, doesn't it?
Oh, sure.
Like, a company buys an expensive enterprise software license and they want to ensure their workforce is actually getting a return on that investment. Why is this causing such a massive meltdown?
Because of how human beings instinctively react to algorithmic management. What's fascinating here is that, human nature will always look for the path of least resistance to bypass corporate metrics.
Right, or lazy, or just efficient.
Right, efficient at avoiding trouble. Because adoption's being forced by a numerical quota rather than, say, earned through actual utility, employees are terrified of missing their targets.
Oh, wow. So they're just scared for their jobs.
Yeah. They aren't integrating AI into their actual workflows to become more efficient. Instead, they are literally fabricating busy work.
Wait, seriously?
Seriously, tasks that serve absolutely no business purpose at all, just to generate a prompt, get an AI response, and tick a box for middle management.
Oh my gosh, that immediately reminds me of being back in like elementary school with a teacher who is teaching to the test.
Yes, that's a perfect analogy.
The goal stops being about genuine learning, or in this corporate case, actual productivity. The goal just becomes passing the metric. I mean, are we just seeing Goodhart's law in action here?
Absolutely. Goodhart's law is the governing dynamic of this entire fiasco.
Which is, for those who don't know, when a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure,
That
which.
is the precise mechanism, yeah. The second the C-suite made, number of AI prompts generated the target, it completely lost its value as a measure of workforce efficiency.
Right.
And the downstream damage of this is severe. I mean, think about the return on investment reports that large organizations rely on to make financial decisions.
Oh, the ROI reports are going to look amazing, but they'll be completely fake.
Exactly. Those ROI reports are being quietly poisoned by this behavior. An executive looks at a chart and says, "Wow, our AI engagement is up 300%."
They're so innovative.
Right. But the reality on the floor is that highly paid employees are burning countless hours generating like AI summaries of internal documents that literally no one will ever read
Just to hit a number.
just to keep their jobs.
It is the ultimate illusion of automation. I mean, humans are smart enough to game the system, but the result is behavior entirely devoid of common sense.
Entirely.
But let's flip that dynamic for a second. What happens when the AI itself is the entity lacking common sense in the physical world?
Oh, right. The Waymo situation.
Yeah, because while humans are fabricating work at their desks, Waymo's AI is out on the streets driving straight into standing floodwater.
Yeah, the Waymo recall of, I think it was 3,800 robotaxis.
3,800, that's a lot of cars.
It is. And this illustrates a completely different type of failure point.
But wait, explain this to me because it doesn't make sense. Waymo vehicles are covered in LiDAR arrays, radar, high-definition cameras. I mean, they process millions of data points a second,
They
right?
do, yeah.
How does a multi-million dollar sensor suite get completely defeated by a puddle in an intersection?
Because, at the end of the day, an AI lacks contextual reasoning.
Okay, contextual reasoning.
Yeah, think about it. A human driver looks at a flooded intersection and subconsciously processes a dozen contextual clues all at once.
Like, oh, it's raining really hard.
Exactly. We understand the weather. We see the depth of the water against the curb. We recognize the danger intuitively. We possess common sense.
Right.
But the autonomous vehicle's LiDAR system operates by bouncing light pulses off objects to map the environment.
Okay, so it shoots lasers out.
Basically, yes. But standing water acts like a mirror. It scatters those light pulses or reflects them straight up into the sky.
Oh, wow.
So instead of seeing a hazard, the AI's internal map registers a flat reflective anomaly. Or sometimes it just registers empty space.
Wait, it thinks the water isn't even there?
Yeah. It lacks the contextual framework to say, ah, it's raining and that flat surface is actually a lake.
So Waymo had to push a software patch just to explicitly tell the cars, like, hey, do not drive into the reflective flat surface during a severe storm.
Exactly. They had to code in a rule for a puddle.
That is incredibly jarring.
It is. And, you know, while a remote software patch resolves the immediate technical glitch, the secondary damage is to public perception.
Because it just looks so stupid.
Right. Autonomous driving technology relies fundamentally on human trust. You have to trust it to put your family inside it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The visual optics of a highly advanced robotaxi cheerfully drowning itself, I mean, that goes viral instantly.
You see it on TikTok 5 minutes later.
Exactly. You can push a code update overnight, but repairing the damage to public trust takes years.
So physical AI is out there struggling with light refraction on puddles. But let's look at the digital side of AI, because reading through these sources from Tech and AI Daily, the software realm feels like a completely different universe.
It really is moving much faster.
Yeah, digital AI isn't just succeeding. It is scaling into autonomous agents at blinding speed. Though, you know, given what we are about to discuss, the foundation of this new era might be resting on some hidden structural cracks.
For sure. The transition from passive chatbots to active agents is the defining pivot of the tech industry right now.
Agents? Meaning what? They do stuff on their own.
Right. We are no longer simply querying an AI like a search engine. We are deploying it to execute multi-step workflows.
And the ecosystem is exploding to support this. Just looking at today's stack of sources, we have three massive developments.
Yeah, let's go through them.
Okay, first, Notion is launching a full developer platform with APIs designed specifically for building agents directly inside user workspaces.
Which is huge.
Huge. They're pivoting hard from being just a place to organize your work to a platform to actually build agents on.
Right.
Second, Anthropic just dropped Claude Opus 4.6. This is an absolute monster of a model featuring a 1 million token context window with vastly improved agentic task execution.
A million tokens is staggering.
It's an entire library. And third, there is a new open source tool gaining massive traction called Sex. It's a CLI package manager built for AI skills and MCPs. Honestly, I need you to translate that last one for me. What exactly is an MCP and why on earth do we need a package manager for AI?
Right. Okay. So if we connect this to the bigger picture, X and MCPs are essentially the connective tissue of the new agent economy.
Connective tissue.
Yeah. MCP stands for Model Context Protocol. Think of it this way. If you have one AI agent that manages your calendar and another agent that analyzes your financial spreadsheets.
Okay. Two different agents.
Right. They need a standardized language to communicate and share context with each other.
Oh, I see.
An MCP is that standardized language. And then the SX package manager, that acts like an HR director for your AI workforce.
An HR director. I like that.
Yeah, it handles the incredibly complex wiring required to assign specific skills to specific agents. And it ensures they can talk to each other securely without corrupting your data.
So we aren't just giving an AI a text prompt anymore. We are giving it a desk inside Notion, an HR director in the form of Sex. And with Claude Opus 4.6's million token window, we are handing it the keys to read a library's worth of our private data, make decisions, self-correct, and execute tasks all on its own.
Precisely. We are building a massive interconnected skyscraper of automated labor.
Okay, but this is where we have to talk about the crack in the foundation. Because if we are placing this much blind trust in these agents, handing them our company data and letting them execute code, the underlying infrastructure needs to be bulletproof, right?
It has to be, absolutely.
And there is a massive red flag buried in these technical sources regarding something called BUN.
Ah, yes. The BUNREST rewrite. This is a critical vulnerability that is really flying under the radar of the mainstream press.
Let's break this down for everyone listening. BUN is a runtime environment. It's the core engine that actually executes software code.
Right.
And Anthropic, the exact same company pushing that brilliant new Claude Opus agent model we just talked about, they acquired BUN back in late 2025.
Yes, they did.
Now, BUN's entire value proposition, its core identity, is that it is supposed to be lightning fast and structurally safe. But according to a highly detailed GitHub issue in our stack, BUN's new code base allows something called undefined behavior in safe Rust, and it is failing basic MIRI memory checks.
Yeah, this is bad.
I know Rust is famous for preventing memory bugs. How does a memory check failure at the deepest runtime layer actually threaten a high-level AI model like Claude?
Well, think about the skyscraper analogy you used earlier.
Mm.
BUN is the poured concrete foundation of the skyscraper.
Okay.
The programming language Rust is designed with strict mathematical rules to guarantee memory safety, meaning it prevents programs from accidentally accessing or overwriting data they shouldn't.
Like reaching into the wrong file.
Exactly. And tools like MIRI exist to audit that foundation for microscopic flaws. So when a runtime environment allows undefined behavior, it means that when the software encounters an edge case, it just discards the rules.
Wait, it just ignores the safety rules entirely.
Yes. It might crash, it might leak secure data to the open internet, or it might open a gaping back door for hackers.
So if Claude Opus is the brilliant penthouse of this skyscraper and it's relying on BUN to execute its actions,
then the penthouse is fundamentally unsafe.
Wow.
Because agents operate iteratively, right? They write code, they test it, they self-correct. A memory leak at the base runtime level means the agent might hallucinate a success or accidentally expose your private Notion workspace data while trying to execute a background task.
Without you ever knowing.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how brilliant the AI's reasoning is if the engine executing its commands is structurally unsound. It is a severe credibility crisis for Anthropic right now.
And when you realize just how critical that foundational infrastructure is, you suddenly understand why the biggest players in the world are engaged in a cutthroat race to own it.
Oh, 100%.
Which moves us perfectly into the geopolitics of this space. Everyone wants to own the base layer, and it is triggering staggering corporate consolidation.
The money moving around right now is unbelievable.
It's crazy. Let's talk about Elon Musk and SpaceX. They have reportedly secured an option to acquire Cursor.
Cursor, yeah.
Now, Cursor is arguably the most popular AI coding assistant on the market right now. Developers swear by it. SpaceX is either paying $10 billion for a partnership or $60 billion to buy it outright.
$60 billion with a B.
$60 billion. Why is Musk willing to pay $60 billion just for fancy autocomplete?
Because it is absolutely not just autocomplete. This is a play for ultimate data leverage.
How so?
Cursor sits directly inside the developer's environment. It watches every single keystroke. It understands the logic of the code being written, and it learns how the world's best software engineers solve problems in real time.
So it's watching the builders build.
Exactly. If you control the tool that writes the software for the rest of the world, you control the telemetry of the entire tech industry. You own the choke point of modern infrastructure.
But the billionaires aren't the only ones fighting over these choke points. Governments are actively stepping onto the battlefield now.
They are, and it's getting tense.
We have a report here that Meta attempted to acquire an AI startup called Manus AI, but the Chinese government actively blocked the acquisition. Now, we are not taking sides here, but just looking at the facts of this blocked deal, what does this tell us?
It tells us that this represents the new reality of the global technology market. We are no longer operating in a frictionless environment of willing corporate buyers and sellers.
The free market is gone.
In this sector, yeah. AI models, the data sets that train them, and the engineering talent that builds them are now classified by governments as strategic national assets.
Like weapons.
They are treated with the exact same severity as uranium enrichment or aerospace defense tech. The geopolitical rivalry between the U.S. and China means regulators in Beijing, and Washington for that matter, have established a hard geopolitical ceiling.
So Meta can't just buy their way in.
Right. Meta could offer endless capital, but when a government decides an AI asset crossing borders is a national security risk, the market simply ceases to exist.
Man, so billionaires are spending billions to consolidate the choke points, and governments are using their authority to fiercely guard them. But where does that leave you and me?
The end users.
Right, the people actually using the hardware and software. Because relying on centralized choke points creates a massive vulnerability for the end user. The sources highlight two deeply unsettling stories about what happens when you carry one of these centralized platforms around in your pocket.
Yeah, these two stories really complement each other.
Let's look at the legal side first.
Sure.
The Department of Justice is reportedly using an emissions crackdown as the legal justification to demand that Apple and Google unmask the identities of over 100,000 users of a specific car tinkering app. Again, just looking strictly at the precedent here, not taking sides on the DOJ's emissions policy, but unmasking 100,000 people.
The precedent being established here is profound. Historically, the public has viewed centralized app stores as a convenience, right? A walled garden that keeps malware out.
Yeah, Apple checks the app so my phone doesn't get a virus.
Right. But the unavoidable reality of a centralized app store is that it functions as a master registry of human behavior.
Because they know exactly what you downloaded and when.
Exactly. When a government entity can compel a platform to unmask 100,000 citizens based entirely on a single software download, the App Store ceases to be just a storefront. It becomes a mass surveillance surface.
Wow. And that is just the legal vulnerability. We also have to unpack the technical vulnerability because simultaneously, Google's Project Zero security team just published a full zero-click exploit chain for the Pixel 10 smartphone.
The zero-click exploits are terrifying.
Explain the mechanics of a zero-click to me. How does an attacker completely compromise my phone if I literally don't click a phishing link or download a weird attachment?
Right, so a zero-click exploit targets the background process your phone runs constantly without your permission.
Like what?
Your device is always passively listening for data. It's checking for Wi-Fi packets, parsing the headers of incoming text messages, rendering image previews in your messaging app before you even open them.
A zero click involves a hacker sending a highly specific, malformed packet of data, like a corrupted image file hidden in an invisible text message.
Invisible text
Yeah.
messages.
When your phone's background system tries to process that image, the malformed data triggers a buffer overflow, which basically rewrites the device's memory. Before your screen even lights up to show a notification, the attacker has root access to your device.
Oh my gosh. Here's where it gets really interesting. Think about this dynamically. Carrying a modern smartphone is like living in a high-tech glass
The
house.
glass house, yeah.
You think you are secure because you lock the front door, but in reality, your landlord, the centralized app store, has a master key and can legally open your life to the authorities whenever they get subpoenaed.
Right.
And at the exact same time, burglars, the hackers utilizing these zero-click exploits, have found a structural flaw that lets them walk right through the glass walls without even breaking them. And we voluntarily carry these compromised glass houses in our pockets everywhere we go.
That is an excellent way to conceptualize the danger. And it explains why we're seeing a massive coordinated reaction from the developer community right now.
The engineers are fighting back.
Software engineers understand the fragility of this glass house better than anyone else. They see SpaceX buying up Cursor, they see the DOJ utilizing app stores for surveillance, and they read the security briefings on zero-click exploits. Their response is to build structural escape hatches.
Which brings us to the rebellion. Let's talk about Radical.
Radical is the decentralized market's direct answer to everything we just discussed. It is a sovereign peer-to-peer code forge built entirely on Git.
For the non-engineers listening, break that down. How does a peer-to-peer Git network function differently from just hosting your open source project on a massive platform like GitHub? How does it actually solve the glass house problem?
Well, GitHub is a phenomenal tool, but fundamentally, it is a centralized server owned by Microsoft. It is a massive choke point.
Okay, wait.
If a government orders Microsoft to take down a specific repository or demands the IP addresses of the developers contributing to it, Microsoft must comply. They own the server.
They have to follow the law where the server sits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Radical completely eliminates the central server from the architecture. It utilizes a peer-to-peer gossip protocol.
Gossip protocol.
Yeah, every developer on the network hosts a local copy of the code base, and changes are synced directly between users using cryptographic identities to verify authenticity.
So there's no middleman.
There is no central authority to subpoena. There is no central server to shut down.
It is entirely censorship resistant.
Exactly. This raises an important question regarding the future of digital infrastructure. If developers feel the walls closing in, from corporate consolidation of their tools to government overreach on their platforms, Radical represents the decentralized ecosystem they will migrate toward.
Because they want to protect their work.
Right. It is a structural refusal to build the foundation of the digital world on a platform that a third party can just turn off.
It is a massive multi-front tug of war. So, let's take a breath and retrace the journey we've just been on, because we covered a lot.
We really did.
We started in the physical world, looking at human employees at Amazon inventing fake tasks just to satisfy a broken AI metric, while Waymo robo-taxis blindly drove into flooded intersections because LiDAR can't understand the context of a puddle.
Which still blows my mind.
Right. Then we moved into the digital realm, observing Notion and Anthropic rapidly deploying an agent-driven economy, even as foundational code bases like Bun exhibit severe structural memory flaws.
The foundational crack.
And finally, we witnessed the high-stakes battle to control all of this infrastructure. Yeah. SpaceX valuing code completion at $60 billion, geopolitical superpowers blocking Meta from acquiring talent, the DOJ transforming app stores into surveillance nets, and zero-click exploits silently compromising our hardware.
It's all connected.
All of which is triggering a decentralized rebellion through tools like Radical. So yeah. What does this all mean?
What it means is that we fundamentally misunderstand technology when we view it in a vacuum. We obsess over the technical specifications, right? A million token context window, an autonomous driving patch, an MCP routing protocol.
We get lost in the specs.
Exactly. But technology is ultimately governed by human incentives. The most elegantly designed algorithmic metric becomes totally useless if terrified workers are incentivized to game it.
Yep.
A brilliant corporate acquisition becomes completely impossible if superpowers decide it threatens their geopolitical leverage.
Yeah.
And the most secure app ecosystem in the world becomes a dragnet if legal structures demand it.
It's unavoidable.
The code advances relentlessly, but it is our human realities, our politics, our structural flaws, our desire for absolute control, and our counter-demand for freedom that actually forge the future.
It always loops right back to us, the incredibly messy humans trying to manage these pristine machines.
It does. But I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, connecting the dots of everything we've covered today.
Okay, let's hear it.
We discussed how companies like Notion and Anthropic are building incredibly powerful, fully autonomous AI agents that will soon be managing our digital workspaces, making decisions, and executing tasks on our behalf.
Right, the new agent economy.
And we just discussed how Google's Project Zero proved that our primary devices can be utterly compromised by invisible zero-click exploits.
I see where you're going with this, and the implications are terrifying.
Think through the mechanics of that collision. If these autonomous agents are operating on hardware that we fundamentally do not control, devices structurally vulnerable to invisible hacks and legally vulnerable to centralized surveillance, what happens in a year or two when an agent executes a critical task, say a massive financial transfer or a proprietary data migration, on a compromised phone?
Oh, wow.
If your AI agent is manipulated by a hacker who used a zero-click exploit to silently slip past the glass walls of your device, who is actually liable?
That's a huge question.
Is it you, the user? Is it the massive tech company that built the agent? Or is it the company that laid the flawed runtime foundation?
That is the ultimate collision right there. We are handing artificial intelligence the master keys to a house that might already have a burglar quietly sitting in the living room. That is something to seriously mull over.
Definitely.
Thank you all for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the digital world around you. Keep looking for the hidden cracks in the foundation, and we will see you next time.